He's just 13 years old, and the poor kid has no chance. What exactly happened in Moorhead schools yesterday, and how could this have happened? It's just an idea, but now it apparently has no chance either. The developer of a proposed housing complex in Fargo pulls the application after the tax breaks are rejected. And Joe Biden tried to shut down energy development in North Dakota, but that has no chance of sticking either after President Trump signs a bill overturning the shutdown. Good afternoon, my friend. Good to be back here in the Fargo studio after a little two-day trip out to Watford City. And speaking of no chance, there's no chance I'm going to spend much time outside today. Oh, my word, it's cold and it's windy. And that's the holy grail of bad weather in our part of the world. I guess if you have cold snow and high winds, that's worse. But you cannot be outside for very long today unless you got a whole lot of covered up skin, because it is nasty today. We are into those 20, 30 below wind chills, and it doesn't take long before you feel that bite. Hopefully you've had a great day nonetheless. It is fairly sunny out there, so that's been kind of nice. We've seen the sun a little bit. It doesn't look all that bad out there. But when you see that wind whipping and we've got that light snow blowing around, reminds me of those Star Wars movies where they showed the, was it Planet Hoth, which was the isolated, Addison, am I right on that, Hoth?
You are correct.
Okay. I felt like I was driving back from Hoth today, coming home from Watford City, man. It was whipping good. There were a couple of spots between Valley City and Castleton today where I was driving, and I had to slow down. The old 80-mile-an-hour speed limit was not going to work today because it was blowing hard. And, yeah, we've had snow, and it was whipping around pretty good there today. Hopefully it's been a fairly quiet day for you if you've been driving around or whatever else you have been doing. Great to have you on the show here today. We got a lot of ground to cover between now and 6 o'clock. Our friend Michelle Comer from High Road Partners is going to stop by. We got in a discussion yesterday about rules you have to follow when posting for jobs. And a lot of people, managers, business owners, even employees, need to know what the rules are on these kind of things. And it's not always easy to track all this because there's so much regulation that we have these days about how to hire people and what can you do and what can't you do. And I said, Michelle texted me after the show. She heard me talking about that. I said, hey, will you come by, give us 10 minutes about how this works and what you can do? And if you are someone who's hoping to get a job, does your company have to post that job and take applications from outside the company? So we'll get a little refresher on that today. Plus, Michelle is just a wealth of information on a whole bunch of other topics. So we'll have a little fun with our friend Michelle today here on the show. Cracker Barrel is in the news again. This time, their food's just bad. And it seems like they can't make anybody happy anymore. So we'll get into that. There are a lot of people. We talk about it being cold and snowy, but there are a lot of people in a lot of places, and I was going to say not far from here, but I think probably within, definitely with the sound of my voice in our listening area, that love a good old-fashioned cold winter. And so we'll talk about some numbers that are in on that here today. I saw a story that made me say, I got to take this to my people and see what you all think here. CNBC has a story out on its website that says single-income households are a bygone era and that nobody has a parent at home anymore, that basically everybody has both parents working outside the home. And we kind of did a hybrid of that. I had a job where I worked late. My wife had a part-time job where she worked early, so it worked out fine. And that didn't bother us too much because there was a parent at home all the time with the kids. And I'm curious to hear from some of you, if you made that choice, and obviously it's not easy, right? You mean you need income to come into your home for the family budget, but would be interested to hear how you made that decision for your family about doing the stay-at-home parent thing, stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, whatever it was, and did you miss the money that you didn't have? I think we'd all admit things get tough once in a while, but I'm just wondering, as you look back on it now, maybe the kids are grown and gone, do you miss not having whatever you thought you might have? And would it have been okay, do you think? Would your kids have been just fine if, you know, they would have gone to school or daycare or whatever, when typically there might be, back in the olden days, a mom or a dad in the house. So I'm interested in your stories about that here today. We'll do that. And then North Dakota's two U.S. senators got some national TV time today talking about the president's signing of the bill that overturns Joe Biden's, I'll say, interference in North Dakota energy development. And President Trump said, yeah, we're not having any more of that. So it was unique to see both U.S. senators from North Dakota being on that stage today. So I'll play some of that here today, too. That was on Fox Business this afternoon. All right, we have a lot of things that we got to get to quickly here, so let's do it. We'll start by telling you that we're coming to you live from the Drive with a Vision studio, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, 15 minutes or less to buy a car. If you want to give us a call today, we'd love to hear from you, 701-271-1100, and that is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in soon at valleychristian.co. Let's get to it with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines with a rapid-fire rundown of Friday's news and events. We start with the almanac for today. December 12th, average high 25, average low is 9. Again, we're way under that. I don't know if we're going to get above 0 today. Last I saw was 2 below. And checking the refresh here, we're at 5 below right now. And it's breezy out there, too, which really doesn't help anything at all. Record high for this day was 55 back in 1883. How about that? 1880s, we always have the record cold temps. But I guess it got warm back then every once in a while, too. In 1893 on this day, it was 23 below. So we had the crazy weather back before the turn of the century there. Sunrise this morning in the metro at 8:03. Sunset will be at 4:38. Boy, doesn't it feel like the sun's going down already? It was like 3:30 today, and I looked out the window. I said, the sun's going down. This is really early. Sure feels early, even though we know that's coming this time of the year. And we will go not much further on this. At one time, at some point along the way is what I'm trying to say, we will eventually start seeing things happen a little bit differently, and that will take effect next week, and that's on Tuesday. So we have a 4:38 sunset from now through Tuesday, and then we have like 3 days at 4:39 and then 2 days at 4:40. And then we start moving it back the other way. By the time we get to Christmas, we will actually be about a minute later every day with the sunset. So if this kind of time of year gets you down because it gets dark early, well, the good news is we start changing that pretty darn quick here. So we got that going for us. In the markets today, it was a down day on Wall Street, pretty much across the board, and not massive losses, but pretty significant. The Dow was down 245 points, S&P 500 down 73, and the NASDAQ down 398. I have to remember that when I say 245, it used to be if the Dow was down 249 points or 45 points, it was breaking news. They would cut into live programming to talk about the stock market is tanking, down 245 points. Well, we're sitting at 48,450 for the index value, so that's only about a half a percent. So it's not nothing. But it's not as major as maybe it once was. And I have to admit, sometimes I'm in those old habits of feeling like, oh, well, 245 points, that's a big drop. Not necessarily percentage-wise. S&P 500 down 73 points to close at 6,827. NASDAQ down 398. That was about 1.7%. That was a pretty good haircut for the NASDAQ today. It just sounds like there was some selling on some of the tech issues that have been running so far so fast recently, but there was no big precipitating event today. WTI crude oil basically unchanged today, $57.50 a barrel. Gold today up $16 an ounce at $4,329. Silver down $2.50 at $62.08. And Bitcoin today down $1,100 at $90,354. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide down another cent from yesterday, $2.93. now, 293. And in North Dakota, our average price is 268. Although it's really something. In North Dakota, when I was driving home today, I filled up in Bismarck at 269 right off the freeway. And I got home to Fargo, and Fleet Farm is always the cheapest in the area that I normally drive. I haven't been home today, but coming back, a couple of gas stations at the corner here are at 219. So it's a 50-cent difference from Bismarck to Fargo. And I just don't remember that was a very common thing really up until now. So kind of a big spread going on. Diesel fuel today, $3.66 per gallon. In the news today, a story that makes me shake my head, and honestly, I almost want to shed a tear for the kid involved here. So a Moorhead Middle School student was arrested yesterday, which is, first of all, a storyline or a lead sentence in the story you don't see very often. But yes, the student was arrested yesterday after bringing 1,500 pills to Horizon Middle School. Authorities believe they could contain fentanyl. They're being tested now. During a press conference today, according to the report I'm reading on the forum's website, Police Chief Chris Helmick said the 13-year-old male student, 13 years old, can you believe this, was arrested for first-degree possession of a controlled substance. He's being held at the juvenile detention center. They're not, of course, saying who the kid is. They don't do that when the kid's 13 years old. But Helmick said the kid was arrested after another student told a teacher that the kid had a big pile of blue pills. And school staff worked with the school resource officer. Again, thank you, Jesus, that we've got school resource officers in the schools so we can get to the bottom of these things right away. Representative Keeler, who doesn't want the SROs in the schools. Good things happen when law enforcement is present. Let me just remind the rest of us who still are trying to think through these things with adult perspectives here. School staff work with the SRO to detain the student suspected of possessing the pills. They did some initial field testing right away, determined the pills could contain fentanyl, and they will be doing further testing there. The pills are valued at about $25 a pop, and so they think the bag, this is one big bag of pills, worth more than $35,000. And as we know, fentanyl, you got to have a death wish to be messing around with this stuff. You get a little bit of it on your hand, you could die. And especially with kids, you don't need much of anything to really affect a child. So just an absolute stunner of a news story. And you wonder, what in the world happened along the way? How did that kid get messed up with whoever he got messed up? Because 13-year-old kids are supposed to be thinking about girls and video games. Not like, how am I going to deal some stuff on the in the school hallway, for gosh sakes, dealing drugs. So what a story that one was. I shook my head the whole time I was reading that one. Forum also reports today that the developer that was denied the tax breaks for that apartment complex in downtown Fargo that we've been talking about has rescinded its application for the project. The Annex Group, based out of Indiana, has pulled its application for the $94 million complex that was proposed for 12th Street North. And this happened after Fargo Public School Board and Cass County Commission voted against giving the project the typical 15 years of tax abatement. So they've said, we're not going to do this. And there's apparently still some conversations that are going on, but they've pulled the application. So very interesting. We'll see if this one comes back in another shape or form. And this would be a very interesting data point, wouldn't it be? Because we've been told now by people who are vehemently opposed to these that, oh, they're just going to do this anyway. It doesn't matter. Well, here we have a case of somebody who says, yeah, you know what? I probably am not going to do this, as it at least as it's planned right now. So this is worth tracking. I think this is an interesting one here that we'll keep our eyes on. A Fargo-based Aldevron, the pharmaceutical development company, announcing today additional layoffs, most of them in Fargo. The company's got about 1,000 employees. I did a little research on this because I didn't see it in the story that I first read. So they got about 1,000 employees. They announced earlier this year that they're going to be reducing their headcount by about 5%, and now another 7% they announced today. So Now you're talking about more than 100 employees, and they say that most of them are going to be here in Fargo. But this is what happens. You have automation. You can get, you know, robotics and things like that that can reduce some people. Maybe you find you're a little bit more efficient. And so you've got 120 people, I guess, 12% of 1,000. And this is just a very notable story because now you have 120 people. And most of them here in Fargo who are now looking for a job. This job market thing is a different picture than it was a year ago. It really is. A sad story coming out of Stuartville, Minnesota today. The Star Tribune reports that a student has been injured and a man is dead after the wrestling team was getting ready to leave for a tournament 5 a.m. from the school parking lot today. People that were helping the kids get on the bus and get loaded up, ready to go, heard a shot. They saw a kid on the floor, on the ground, outside, and then they heard another shot and a guy was dead. He had a rifle, shot the kid, and then shot himself. The kid is expected to survive, although he has serious injuries and he is in critical condition, but stable condition. But the adult was found deceased at the scene. They don't have, well, they probably do know what the story is by now, but nobody is saying publicly what the relationship was or what the motive might be. They don't have the ages. They have not identified publicly anyway either of those two. But what a sad story there. Just your garden variety high school, 5 a.m. getting the team out the door so they could get to the tournament, and you have something like that. Oh, my word. Thankfully, it seems like the kid will be okay, but not out of the woods quite yet. President Donald Trump reports WDAY Radio has signed a bill overturning the Biden administration's Bureau of Land Management plan for North Dakota called the Resource Management Plan. Basically, the trying to dumb this down, which I always appreciate on stories like this because these stories get kind of deep in the weeds in a hurry. But this is the land management plan that the Biden administration put out for North Dakota, basically saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it was all, of course, designed to kill North Dakota energy development because they weren't smart enough to figure out that we needed electricity, so coal was important and natural gas. And they, of course, wanted all fossil fuels like the oil and natural gas to just go by the wayside so they could further their green agenda further. Kevin Cramer and John Hoeven were both on the Larry Kudlow show earlier today. I'm going to play for you a little bit of that later on in the program. But Hoeven said it would have closed off leasing. So this is lease auctions on federal lands so that oil, natural gas companies can come in and develop. It would have closed off leasing to 45% of potential oil and gas acreage and nearly 99% of federal coal acreage in North Dakota. Would have, if it would have been allowed to take effect and really work, it would have killed North Dakota coal. And thankfully, we have a new lease on life. So thank goodness President Trump understands that we do like to have electricity and heat on days like today. And if you like your computer to run or your phone to charge or all that stuff, electricity really is kind of nice to have. 425, Steve Hallstrom Show, and that is a look at some of the stories making headlines here on this Friday afternoon. When we return, Cracker Barrel just can't seem to make anybody happy anymore. Shouldn't be that hard. That's next. Okay, Cracker Barrel is getting the heat. If you can't stand the heat, get out of Cracker Barrel's kitchen, I guess. But the loyal diners at Cracker Barrel, you remember all this stuff about them getting rid of Uncle Herman or what was that dude's name? Addison, what was that guy's name? The Cracker Barrel guy.
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know much
Uncle
about Cracker
Herschel.
Barrel.
That's Uncle Herschel. And they were doing some new, like, Somali flag logo for Cracker Barrel kind of a thing. And they were going to get rid of Uncle Herschel, which wasn't like, you thought, okay, was Uncle Herschel, this wasn't like a Aunt Jemima thing. We don't think Uncle Herschel was an LGBT figure or whatever. They just, an old white guy, and they just wanted to get rid of the old white guy. Well, people pushed back about that. They finally brought Uncle Herschel back. Well, now the people that normally go to Cracker Barrel that love the place, they're saying that the quality of the food has slipped. They're saying from biscuits that are cold when they're delivered to side dishes that are not made fresh, but they're reheated, there's some frustration with Cracker Barrel. And a lot of people are just kind of thinking, you know what, for one reason or the other, these guys can't get out of their own way. And they're falling apart there. Wall Street Journal put a story out about this. Reported that customers upset by recipe changes and cost-cutting efforts are saying that the chain's meals no longer reflect traditional standards. And that they say 38% of customers in one survey said that they believe that it's not the same company it used to be. Well, this can't be good, because my guess is that Cracker Barrel isn't bringing in a whole lot of teenagers, you know, that are looking to get whatever kids are looking for these days. They kind of need to hold on to the adult population there. They quoted a guy named Craig Watkins of Northern California. He's 73 years of age. He told the Wall Street Journal that he's watched the chain's quality fade, wants old staples and original maple syrup brought back. He said, I want pure syrup on pancakes, not that watered down junk. And he said he now brings his own syrup when he visits. That sounds like something I would do. I love a good plate of pancakes. And if I get bad syrup, it ruins the whole thing. I don't think I'm a syrup snob, but I do have standards. Yes, I've shamed a jar of syrup before. Said, you sit there and think about what you've done, because you could have been really good and made this whole plate full of waffles good, and you're screwing the whole thing up there. The company said in an investor call on Tuesday that they have reinstated some items like campfire meals and Uncle Herschel's favorite breakfast. So not only did they bring the logo back, they're naming menu items after Uncle Herschel. This is what you do when you knew you just screwed the whole thing up. And they also said on the call that they are trying to turn the company around, but it's progressing more slowly because that failed rebranding attempt has really hit them hard. So they say they're trying get things back, and they think they're going to be okay next year, but their sales were down 6% in the last quarter there. So they've done a lot more advertising, $14 million in additional advertising to try to get people, you know, back in the saddle, but it's just not working. So one bad decision with a logo, and now you're spending tens of millions of dollars additional advertising. So thought that was interesting. All right, 4:33. Speaking of interesting, lots of good stuff going on in the local news cycle. So let's send it on down to our news team for a look at the headlines here on this Friday afternoon. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, home of the 15-minute car buying experience. Find what you're looking for, pick it out, get exactly what you want, and it'll only be a few minutes before you are on your way in that beautiful new car, truck, or SUV. Go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. I saw a story in the Star Tribune that made me laugh a little bit today, because I am, as I get older, I get a little softer when it comes to cold weather. And I have not personally minded the last couple of winters that we've had, when we haven't had a ton of snow on the ground. It hasn't been brutally cold. But for a lot of people in our part of the world, they not only love it cold, but for a lot of people, it's the business of cold weather. And we have a company over in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And over there, if you don't have cold weather and snow in the winter, it's a bad deal, because a lot of tourism business comes that way. And the Star Tribune has done a story where they went to a few places around Minnesota and asked, what's it like now that it's cold and you got snow? And they went to Alexandria and Duluth Mountain in Duluth, and even in the Twin Cities area, and everybody says, this is absolutely fantastic. We have been missing this over the last couple of years, including one area down in the Twin Cities at a certain ski hill down there, where they said that they've got a 30% jump in their ski passes that they have sold this year compared to this time last year. So they're just a few days into the winter snow season down there, and they are flying, and or skiing, I guess I should say, and they're very happy about that. So yes, it is good to have an honest winter, especially after a couple of tough ones, although I was okay with those last ones. But I don't know, I guess this is why we have long shirts and and boots and mittens and things like that. 442, Steve Hollisham Show. Please welcome my friend Michelle Comer to the studio today. Michelle, how are you?
I'm super. How are you
doing? I'm doing excellent. Better now that you're here helping us.
It's going to be fun.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, we could talk about a million different things. Whenever Michelle comes, so Michelle's an attorney. She knows the HR game very well, business owner. So you can talk to Michelle just about anything that you're interested in. But we were having a conversation yesterday on the program about posting for jobs and what can you do. And I think there are a lot of people that are interested, no matter what side of the table you're on, if you're an employee and there's a job, maybe your boss left, and so now you're putting in for that job, and you're wondering, okay, do they have to like try to bring in people from outside for these interviews, or can they just promote me up? Or for a business owner or a manager, if you know who you want to bring in for a job, or maybe you want to create a new position in your company, you say, no, I just want Michelle. I know that she is going to be great. I just want to make it simple. I don't want to interview 10 people when I know that I'm not going to hire them. I know who I want. I want to create this position. She's perfect for it. So I think there's a lot of interesting nuances here. And you chimed in to me with a text after we were having a conversation talking about employers not having to post for jobs most of the time. So tell us about that. If you are, let's start with the employer manager side of things. If you want to hire somebody or promote somebody, when do you have to actually do a quote job posting?
Sure. So it's been said, Steve, that I have a knack for complicating everything. I don't think that's a compliment. However, the answer is it depends. That's always the answer. But generally, you do not have to post a job. There are some exceptions to that. There might be a union contract. There might be a company that's a federal contractor and has an affirmative action plan. So I'm going to say, you know, there are some exceptions to this. But generally speaking, you don't have to post a job. What you want to pay attention to is what kind of culture you're trying to create. What's your practice been? What does your internal employee handbook say? And then from there, the guidance that we give to our clients is just that. What kind of culture do you want to create? There are times when it is compassionate to not post a job. If you know who you're going to hire, why put the why have the expense? Why have the time? Why have the process? Why put people through that? If you know what the outcome is, and quite honestly, that's pretty transparent most of the time internally as well. On the other hand, sometimes we advise our clients that it's best to post the job and go through that process, if only to prove to the candidate that you think you want in that position.
Good point. Yeah.
That they are indeed the most qualified, because then you're eliminating that question, like they were friends with the right person, or you know, like
the DEI hire, as we joke around about here.
They went through a process, and often, you know, companies will ask a question: do I have to post it externally? Can I just post it internally? And again, you can do it both ways. You can do it one or the other way. But if you think you have an internal hire that's qualified, we sometimes suggest that you post externally as well. Again, to test the market, to prove that, you know, you made the right decision promoting this internal candidate. So there's a lot of considerations. But when I was listening yesterday, I just wanted to make sure that you knew, and that your audience knew, that generally you don't have to post the position.
I guess we get scared to death around here at our place, because with the EEO stuff that we have, and because our license is reviewed on a regular basis by the Federal Communications Commission, the federal government has to agree basically to allow us to continue to do what we're doing here. And so we do. Whenever we have a job, we go through the process, we hire or we interview multiple people. And I guess that's kind of just the way we've always operated here. So what do we need to know about the EEO side of things when it comes to doing these interview processes, so that we can sort of pass the mustard on our hiring processes?
Sure. So what they're looking for, what they're concerned about, equal opportunity employment, right, is that you're not discriminating against candidates for any reason that qualifies as a protected class. If that candidate is in a protected class, which include things like gender and race and ethnicity, you cannot discriminate against the candidate for any of those reasons in the hiring process.
I don't know why you would want to anyway, but oh well.
Certainly. Right. So in your hiring process, you just want to make sure that it's objective, and that you're interviewing for non-discriminatory objective factors, that you have some documentation of that. And if you can do that, you know, you should be good. But we always in HR say, you know, you want to protect yourself. You really do want to have that documentation. And then you also, we all know the kind of the world that we live in, we have to protect ourselves against the optics too. Mm. So for example, if your past seven hires have all been white men, they may very well have been the most qualified candidate of that applicant pool, or if there was no applicant pool, the most qualified candidate to do the job in your opinion. However, the optics aren't great. So what do you have in your documentation that shows that, you know, if you did post the job, that you, the candidates that you interviewed were similarly qualified, that you had a process to make sure that you were, you know, moving those candidates through using non-discriminatory factors, and that you picked the best candidate.
Yeah.
And in fact, we just spoke with a client yesterday who was scared for a number of reasons, you know, kind of similar to what you just described. And we said, you know, hey, let's just back up and take a deep breath. We are never forced to hire an unqualified candidate. We are never forced.
Isn't that something? It kind of feels that way sometimes almost.
We are not even forced to hire mediocre candidates. Mm. And the concern in that case was the applicant pool just wasn't strong at all, but it contained a number of people that you know, were in protected classes, so there was concern about that. So it really does go back to process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smart. So you've answered all these questions, and that's really great. And this is why it's important. So we work with Michelle and her team at High Road Partners, and when we have these questions, we call, and they set us on the right path. So thankful for us here for you, and that's why it's really great to have an advocate like High Road Partners on our side, and you will too. So if you want to talk to Michelle about what they can do, they do. Well, tell us about all the things you do. I won't do the ad for you here, but since you're here and you came all the way over here to do that, let me give you a minute to kind of pitch your company.
Thank you. Yeah, that is why our company exists at High Road Partners. We kind of think of ourselves as a couple different divisions, although we're extremely unified in how we do our work. We're a full-service insurance brokerage, so we help employers with health, vision, dental, all the different types of insurance that you offer to your employees. And then we are your HR partner, and that can look a number of ways. We can be almost embedded with you. We can be behind the scenes, and maybe your employees don't even know you work with us, but you are working with us, you know, when tricky issues come up. We mostly serve companies that are around 50 employees and under, but we do a lot of work for large companies on a contract basis. We might do compensation studies, help them redesign performance management systems. We write a lot of job descriptions. At this time of year, we're writing a ton of employee handbooks because our neighbors over in Minnesota have changed a whole bunch of laws effective 1-1. And I would say if you are an employer in Minnesota and you have not spent any sleepless nights thinking about what's happening on January 1st,
you haven't done it right.
You probably don't know enough about the changes that are coming. And we're happy to help with those types of things.
Yeah, good stuff. Switching gears a little bit, Medicare enrollment is done. So it's probably like finals week is over for you, right?
It felt like that a little bit. So the regular annual enrollment period was done on December 7th every year, which is, guess what, my birthday. For real. I'm not just saying it. It is my birthday.
So you had plenty of reason to lift a glass or two.
Yeah, but
on the 7th.
You know how we talked in the past, this season, about how this year there's all these plans that are terminating? Those folks do have an extension. So if you're on a plan that's terminating, like a Next Blue plan, I can say that on the air. I couldn't the last time I was here because there are specific guidelines about you know, when we can announce that information. Certain of those plans are terminating. And if you are in one, you have to re-enroll. And so if that is you, you're on any plan that's terminating, you have until the end of December for January 1st coverage or the end of January for February 1st coverage. But that would involve a month of disrupted coverage.
Yeah.
So we can help those people that are in a position like that at High Road Partners. There's still a little bit of time, not much left, but... But we're winding down, and that feels pretty good.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you this too. Just kind of you know a lot about what happens in this community with the hiring market and things like that. It seems from what I see, what I read, people I talk to, that it's not what it was a couple of years ago after COVID. There's not 15 jobs available for anybody who wants to just hop across the street and make another buck an hour. Would you say that the job market is a lot tighter, a little tighter, or really no different than maybe it was a couple of years ago? What have you seen?
It's definitely different. It's definitely different. And in general, I would say it's tighter. We're seeing our college graduates have to work really hard for that first position. And, you know, there are a couple other pockets where we're seeing some real contraction. And generally speaking, again, in our client size, we are seeing much more cautious behavior overall.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay a lot of attention to that. It's a leading indicator.
Yeah. Well, every industry is a little different. Some industries, they have more people than they know what to do with. Others are still, if you own a restaurant, you still need people to come wait tables and all those things that are going on there. So it certainly is a case-by-case basis.
It is. Yeah. Some of it's just mystifying.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
Michelle, great to see you again. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Michelle
anytime.
Comer, High Road Partners, highroadpartners.com.
Yep, you
okay.
got it.
Easiest way to find out about Michelle and her team. And give them a call. It doesn't cost you anything to ask some questions and see if they might be able to help you. But they've done a wonderful job for us. When we come back, Tim Walz has added a new position to the Minnesota State Government, the Director of Integrity. Yes, it's a real thing. It's not a joke, and it's not a punchline. We'll talk about it next. 4:56, Steve Ahlstrom Show. Well, the state of Minnesota has another state employee. Oh, goody. The state of Minnesota's government population continues to grow. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has hired a new director of integrity. Yes, his name is Tim O'Malley. And he will work across state government to strengthen fraud prevention and protect taxpayer dollars. He is going to be advising state lawmakers of reporting policies and procedures in state agencies that could help catch some of these fraud things. They'll be putting in a fraud prevention program, which, I don't know why it's not part of what you do already. Coming up with a data sharing plan that allows, I mean, honestly, you guys, this is like 101 common sense stuff that you could do without like creating something new. This should just be part of what you do. You should have enough people to do this already. You know, this is Tim Walz trying to run for another term and saying, well, this thing is a little sticky here, so I'm going to have to probably make it look like I'm really serious and getting tough on fraud because it's not my fault. But we need to put out the right message there. Jordan Rasmussen, state senator from Fergus Falls, said a statewide director of program integrity isn't something that you need when your commissioners are doing their jobs in the first place. Governor Walz had 7 years to improve integrity but failed time after time. So not sure what this is going to do. Well said, Jordan. So we'll see what they come up with here in Minnesota. But this is, again, if you're a taxpayer in Minnesota, congratulations. Your tax bill just went up for something that shouldn't have been needed anyway. So there you go. All right, 4:58 coming up on 5 o'clock. And when we come back, the top 5 at 5 as we begin hour number 2 of the program. Don't go away. And you know what? I didn't do this off the top of the show, and I should have, so let's make good on this. It is December 12th, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. Sort of a daily tradition here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show, making sure that we remember just how crazy things are right now. Maybe someday we'll look back and say, oh, remember like 2024 and 2025, how crazy they got about the whole boys playing girls sports, and people thought that was fine and no problem, just the boys in there beating the girls, and then they like complimented them and gave them trophies and medals and said how courageous they were, and the girls were like shrugging their shoulders in the corner going, what about us? After fighting for their rights for 100 years? Maybe someday. I don't know. Maybe someday. Good to be with you here on the program here on this Friday afternoon. Where did the week go? Seriously, I think I do this every Friday. I say, wait a minute. Feels like the week just started 20 minutes ago. And I guess that's good, right, when the work week flies past, but I think it's just a sign of getting old. We got a lot of things I want to do here in this hour of the program as we finish up for the week. I touched on this earlier, but I do want to continue this conversation. There is an article on CNBC.com And the title made me click on it and read it through. The title is Why Single Income Households Are a, quote, bygone era, according to experts. We're talking about the stay-at-home mom or the stay-at-home dad, stay-at-home parent. But we know that traditional American families don't look the way they do today. That whole definition is changing there. And it's, you know, sometimes by choice, sometimes by necessity. But over time, we've had more dual-income young families in our country. So we're going to talk about the changing face of the American family and one or both working outside the home. So we'll do that here in this hour of the show. North Dakota's two U.S. senators also got some national TV time today talking about how the state is benefiting from energy development under President Trump. And I have what I think is a very basic entry-level explanation of what we're talking about here, because some of these energy stories get a little wonky. So we'll do that here today on the program. And if we have time, I do want to play for you a comment that was made by one of the players on the Atlanta Falcons after the football game last night with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he was talking about a time when he was young and they had, you know, like all kids do with boys, they run around, throw a football, and they played a playground game when Bijan Robinson was a young man, and we all called it the same thing. Where I grew up in central Minnesota, on the playground, you got the guys together, you played Smear the Queer. That was what we called the game when you threw the ball to somebody, and then everybody chased them and finally tackled them, and then you threw the ball to somebody else, and then they would run around. And, of course, there was nothing hateful about it. We had no idea what we were talking about. Well, of course, what happened when Bijan Robinson, unbeknownst to him, said, we were playing Smear the Queer when we were younger, and oh my word, as you might expect. And so that's turned into a firestorm today. He has since apologized, being a stand-up guy about it. But there's been a lot of conversation about that today, so we'll get into that here as well. So lots to do here on the program before we finish up. Our phone number is 701-271-1100. You can give us a call if you would like to do that. We'll be glad to take your call on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. And you can text me as well, 701-237-1590, or email studio at flagfamily.com. And speaking of the email folder, emailer Chris says, Happy Friday, Steve. The recent buildup in the Caribbean and ultimatums given to President Maduro of Venezuela make me think that Trump is at an inflection point. I worry if Trump does not take decisive action right now with Venezuela, this could escalate into a negative scenario where Maduro does not resign, the Venezuelan army is mobilized, and U.S. troops get involved on land. It could be a real quagmire that haunts Trump at midterms. Trump must get this over fast. If it's an ongoing conflict, it gives Democrats fuel to say we are the anti-war party and something to run on when they don't have anything at the moment. Signed, Chris. Chris, that's a good, deep-thinking email there, my friend. And I struggle with this because I understand there are times when the United States has to be the international policeman, but I don't like it. And I'm not quite to the point where I say, hey, let everybody kill each other anywhere. It doesn't matter. Let's put up walls around our country. Let's take care of us and not get involved in any of these things going on overseas. There's a lot of me that wants to do that. I don't think that can be the answer every single time. So I don't know how much we get involved in Venezuela. If you've got an opinion on that, you can certainly weigh in on the program as well. All right, let's get to the top five at five. These are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Stories that pass the so what test. Well, there's no question what number one on my list today is. This 13-year-old kid in the Moorhead Public School District was found yesterday to have had 1,500 pills in a baggie that they believe contained traces of fentanyl. They found it at Horizon Middle School, where this 13-year-old male student was arrested for first-degree possession of a controlled substance. He had a bag, and they say that there were about 1,500 pills, value about $25 a pop, and so that bag of pills was worth more than $35,000. And fentanyl, even for adults, is bad news, but for kids, especially, you know, lower body weight, it doesn't take much of any of that. And you're dead, just like that. So a student actually turned in the kid, said to one of the teachers, hey, I don't know if anybody wants to know this or not, but Home Slice over there has got a bag full of fentanyl pills, like 1,500 of them. He's selling them for $25 a piece. I want to know where the kid got the pills. What in the world happened along the way where the kid even got mixed up with people at 13 years of age? Not that it would be any better if it was 16 or 18, but it would be a little more understandable. A 13-year, what kind of a monster gives a kid a bag of pills worth $25 each, $1,500, and says, go sell them or whatever they were going to do, bring them some, whatever that was going to happen there. I mean, this is where we need, you know me, I talk a lot about we need cops, laws, jails, and judges that do their job, and we need enough of them to make a difference here. But this needs to be one of those cases where we set an example of somebody. This cannot continue. And I know it will, right? Money. People will do anything. They'll kill people for money. It's what they're doing with these pills and these kids. Why you would give a kid something in their possession that could be so fatal is just, it's stunning to me. I guess these days not much surprises me anymore. So I guess I can't say that I'm shocked that this could have happened, but oh my word, you guys. They need to find this person and they need to be locked up. You throw away the key. And we need to start talking about some capital punishment here on some of these things too. This is ridiculous. And we got to send a message here. So that's story number one. Story number two, the Annex Group has pulled its application for the new apartment complex or the proposed downtown apartment complex. They were denied the tax breaks that they were looking for, and so they have pulled their application for the project. This is a story where you've got the county board and the school board in Fargo saying, no, we're not going to sign off on a 15-year abatement of property taxes because we need this money. And now the state legislature has gotten involved and said, you can't raise your taxes more than 3% a year. We have to start saying no to some of these things. You know what? As much as I appreciate the concept of these tax abatement programs, and I do think they have a place, this is exactly what needs to happen. We need to have more board members in school, county, city, whatever, saying, you know what? We got to take a stronger look at these things. And maybe we don't do the things that we've always done. Now, I would also like the school board and the Cass County Commission to also be a tough on their own budgets, too, because it seems like that's really what creates the problem. They just keep spending and spending and spending. So yes, you can say no to this and you have a right to do it. And it's probably the right thing, but let's not see Fargo City Commission raising 11% the budget from this year to next year. And if we can get that to change, then what Kelly Armstrong will have done will have been a stroke of genius. And I'm so glad he did it. So anyway, this Annex Group, based in Indiana, was going to build this $94 million complex, 262 apartments, kind of on the north side of town. But because they're not getting the support from the people that have to sign off on the tax abatements, they want to go back to the drawing board. So they pulled their application. We might see them again. The forum has this story today, and one of their people, one of their executives said, we hope there's a solution that we can find for the project. So it's not dead yet, but what they thought they were going to do isn't going to happen quite that same way. Story number three, for the second time this year, biotech firm Aldevron has announced employee layoffs, the most recent job cuts amounting to a 7% reduction in the company's workforce. This story in the forum today, a number of other news organizations are reporting this now as well, but Forum was the first that I saw to have this. The reason I bring this up is it's one of those stories I think tells us where we're at in this point in time. 2025, I don't want to say is the year of the layoff, but it is absolutely the year of getting tough on your employee count. And a lot of companies that I have talked to, they're not reducing force. They're not laying off. But when someone leaves, they're not hiring someone to backfill. They're making do with what they have, and they're reassigning some employees. They're just not hiring anybody else. The cost of living, inflation, just price increases, just cost of buying things has gone up so far so fast that you cannot have that happen without there being some pain points on this side of that equation, and now we are seeing them. If you are a business person, you also know that your insurances, your property and casualty, your liability, your professional coverage, your health insurance, all of those, if you've got vehicles in with your company, your auto owner's policy, that's not been a 25% jump over the last 5 years. That's been double that, what you've seen over the last 5 years. All these insurance premiums I get are 10 to 12% higher than they were a year ago. And I don't know when this is ever going to slow down. And it's a combination of a lot of things. It's nobody's fault necessarily, although we can talk a lot about, you know, federal money being pumped into the system left and right and creating what we have here. And part of what's happening with companies right now is they are downsizing because they can use automation to do what people used to have to do before. So like entry-level research positions, you just can't find them anymore. And you heard Michelle Comer a few minutes ago on the show talk about grads right out of school. It's not as easy as it used to be to find a job. So Aldevron has announced a 7% reduction in force. They did a 5% reduction earlier this year. Now, at the beginning of 2025, Aldevron had about 1,000 employees across the country, most of them, though, here in the Fargo campuses. So you now have a 7 and a 5%, so 12% reduction over the course of the year. That's 120 people out of your 1,000. Even in a city of our size, we're not a small community, but, I don't know, what, 225 in the metro, something like that? You dump 120 employees into the job market, and they're not the only company that's done this. Microsoft has had some. Other companies have done this as well. And pretty soon, you can't just jump across the street and go find another job to pay you $10 an hour more like maybe you could have done back in 2021 or 2022. It's happening. This is not a sign of a badly run company. Aldevron is a marvelous company. What a story. They could write a book about Aldevron. They maybe have. But the other point I want to make on this is that this does not mean the company's doing bad or the company's hurting or they're mismanaged or they've done things wrong. This means they are taking a look at what they have, what they can do, and how to get it done. They're saying, we maybe don't need as many people as we used to. So this is a big trend. We've seen more and more of it here in 2025, especially some of these big employers across the country. Amazon, how many have we heard from there? I mean, all these big companies have had it happen to them. And in the government as well, federal government positions. What's it been, 100,000? Okay, it's a big country, I get it, but 100,000, that's a lot of employees flooding the zone. So story number three is a story about kind of the local manifestation of that. Story number four, the Food and Drug Administration is looking into whether deaths across multiple age groups are related to COVID-19 vaccines. We are finally starting to lift the lid on this. This announcement comes after a November memo from an FDA official who claimed that COVID-19 vaccinations caused the deaths of 10 children. The Department of Health and Human Services says a full investigation is now underway. They're not being specific right now about what data is being reviewed. According to the World Health Organization, more than 700 million COVID-19 vaccine doses have been given in the United States. 700 million. And we're a country, what, 350? So on average, every person in this country got two. I brought that average down because that was not me. So I thought that was interesting. I thought I'd pass that along to you here on the program today, story number four. And I've got one more story here for you as well. And that is, this is maybe a little wonky to some of you, but hang tight here on this because I think it will matter, or you'll see why I believe it matters. President Trump has said that a new candidate has moved to the top of his list as the next Federal Reserve Chair. Previously considered on Trump's shortlist, but not the favorite, Kevin Warsh, a former Fed governor himself, after an interview with President Trump Wednesday, apparently made a very good impression on the president. And when he was asked about it today, about, is he at the top of your list? The president says, yes, I think he is. Now, Kevin Hassett has been the guy that was tabbed by a lot of people. Bloomberg said it was basically a done deal. And Hassett is a good-natured guy, not one to draw a lot of attention to himself. And he said, hey, you know, this will work. People that I respect in the financial media, people like the Kudlow people, people like Charles Payne, some of those people have said either of those guys would do a great job. The reason this position matters is this will be the person who Donald Trump will basically say, look, I'm giving you this job and you have one task to do, and that is push interest rates down. And so whoever the president selects for this job is going to have a mandate to reduce interest rates. And they can't do it on their own, but they can definitely try to plant some seeds. So I thought I'd mention that to you, because if you said to me, hey, it's not Hassett, it's going to be somebody else, I might say, oh. But now that it's Warsh, apparently. And again, President Trump changes his mind often. This might be a different deal in a little bit. But I would be fine with either of these guys. The two Kevins, I think either of them would be just fine. All right, 524, Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, we've got to go to the phone lines because we've got a little phone traffic going on here. But I want to talk a little bit about why single-income households or single parent at home is a bygone era. And did you do that, and how did it work for you? We'll do that as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. Good stuff there. A little Bing Crosby for us. A little White Christmas there. Good stuff. All right, 529, Steve Hallstrom Show. And I've got a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about, but I do like to try to get folks in on the phone lines when we can. And so let's go to the phone lines here. I am kind of juggling a few balls here today. Addison had things he needed to attend to elsewhere today, so I'm kind of doing the whole shooting match here today. So I'm going to screen phone calls and do the talking today. So let's go back to the phone lines right now, the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good afternoon, my friend. Give me your name and where you're calling from.
This me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Steve, this is Dana Bismarck.
Hi, Dana.
How are you doing there, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
I got to give kudos to the school board and the county commissioners for standing up against that apartment complex. We need more people with backbone like that. And when these companies come in and want to do this, if they can't take care of the expenses themselves, then we don't need to take on their debts and make our lives worse. You know? So that's kind of how I feel about that. And then, you know, I sent you that story of what happened to me.
Yes, I'm trying to remember that. You sent that to me a while ago.
Yeah. Do you think that's a good enough reason to have our president hear my idea on how I would change this?
Yeah, you know, Dana, I'm trying to remember the specifics on that one. Give me the Cliff Notes version again. I don't recall exactly. You sent me like three or four emails. There was a lot there. Boil it down for me, would you?
That's how I had that railroad tie business that got kind of destroyed on me and the circumstances involved with that.
Yeah.
And I want to change how we run this thing, because the way it is, it's self-destruct. And
yeah,
we all know it. That, you know, and it's never going to change unless we interject some new ideas. And we got a guy like Trump that will actually listen and has got the chutzpah.
Yeah.
To make it move if he likes it.
Yes.
The rest just go, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? They're comfortable in where they're at.
Absolutely. So. Isn't it refreshing to have a president that actually feels like he actually shows up to work in the morning and tries to get something done? I mean, the number of things that he's taken on that you thought, a president's probably never going to really want to get involved with that. Well, a President Trump, you know, even just today, and there's a story every day about overturning the Biden land plan so that we can get some coal, natural gas, and oil into the marketplace, things that we need. But before, I don't even know if Joe Biden was doing any work, Dana.
I think when he goes to sleep, he dreams of what he's going to do as soon as he wakes up, and then he jumps on it.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Well, maybe next week.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
Next year.
Right. Yep. Thanks, Danny. You have a good night, my friend. You take care. Great to hear from you again. Merry Christmas to you. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here, and let's talk to this next person. Good afternoon, my friend. Give me your name and where you're calling from.
Jim, I'm calling from West Fargo.
Hey, Jim.
So to address two of your stories you're talking about, you know, I'm not sure if the Fargo City Commission is bipolar, schizophrenic, or just plain tone deaf. I mean, seriously, they argue, like Pipecorn argues about how they can't fund this. They can't fund this because our budget is, you know, it's over our budget. We don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
But then he turns around and he has a fit, and the rest of these guys are just trying to push for a 20-year property tax break on another development, you know, an apartment building that's going to basically take away business from our other businesses in that area. Yeah, you know, who are trying to, the vacancy rate's high in downtown. It's going to take away business from them for that.
Yeah.
And they're not listening to the property tax owners. They're like, no, we don't need, you got to quit giving away this money. And they
yes.
don't listen.
Yeah.
And I cannot fathom the reason why. I hate to say it, but you sometimes wonder if there isn't some money or something going on underneath the table where they're benefiting from it. And they're just waiting to get out of the office so they can head on off to Acapulco or Cancun with their cash. So, but the second thing that ties into it is, though, is like Aldevron. Perfect example of another company in this town that got tips and all these tax breaks and everything, and they bring them into the community, and guess what? Now they're laying off all these people. So they got all this free property, free tax dollars, you know, all this, these breaks, and now they're laying off people. So what good did that do our community?
It's a fair question. So the Aldevron, they didn't get their facility downtown. That's the one on 40th, right? 40th and 25th,
yeah,
kind of down there.
Yeah, but they still got the property tax exemptions.
They still got the property tax exemptions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, let me think of this through, because I think you bring up a good point. So how might we talk through this? So you're saying we give them a benefit, they hire people, then they lay off all the people. What good does that do? Well, I guess you could say that, first of all, it's a fair point, and I'm glad you brought it up. You could say, if you're going to defend the process, you could say, well, okay, maybe they don't have all the jobs, but you can't make a company keep people on either. And if the company's profitable and they are paying taxes within the city and taxes to the state, the city and the state is still getting a benefit from them being here. They pay, you know, maybe they got a benefit for a while, but at some point they will still have a property tax bill due for that entire footprint of the building. So it's not as though they're completely, you know, taking the money and running.
No, I get it. But, you know, and I understand that does happen in business. But I just think when they write these contracts, there should be some clauses in there. That if they lay off so many employees, then they're going to lose so much tip money.
Yeah, you know, that's not a bad way of looking at it either. I would argue with you. I'm just trying to have a conversation here and seeing it on both perspectives. But I think you're bringing up really good points here. But maybe it's not, you know, the whole thing, but maybe it's a sliding scale where if you do have, you know, if you keep your employees or you grow, then maybe it's a little better treatment. But if you start cutting like crazy, then maybe you have to give a little bit of it back, or that abatement expires sooner and you have to start paying it a little bit. What I couldn't tell you is Aldevron built that facility on 40th. Maybe they were at 500 employees then, and then they grew to 1,000, and now they're cutting back a few, but they're still net positive from where they have been. So without kind of knowing the whole story about how they've expanded, I know that company's grown, and grown pretty good, I think. So maybe they're still sitting way above where they were when they started that whole thing. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And you know, another tip point I want to bring up on that, too, is like, they aren't the original owners who owns Aldevron right now.
That's true. Yep, you're right.
And I think it's sold for, what did it sell for? Was it
$10
billion or something?
Yeah, it was a lot. It was in the hundreds of millions, I think. I can't recall.
It was in the billions, I believe.
Was it billions? Okay, yeah. It was a lot.
My thing is this. If they were able to sell that thing at a profit, that huge of a profit, there should have been a clause in the contract that said, you're going to have to pay. We gave you a chance to get started. Now you made this huge amount of money off it. Now you're going to have to repay all those.
That's a fair point, too. Yep, that's a fair point, too. Yeah, you know, Everything can be done better, and you can tweak it as you kind of go through things. It's hard to envision all the things that could happen along the way, but there should have been somebody, to your point, kind of going through some of this and saying, okay, we're going to do this really nice thing for you, but if you sell it to an international conglomerate or whatever, and they now own it, maybe part of that comes back to the city a little faster. So I'm agreeing with you that I think we can do a better job. You can always fine-tune a program, even if it's not bad to start with.
Well, I think people are very upset as far as when you see the reactions of the city commission, the fact that they didn't get their way because of the school board and the county commission and having their little tantrums about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, someone has to absorb those property tax breaks for those people. And guess what? Yep. It's the homeowners.
That's right.
And the homeowners are strapped. And young people are having a hell of a time trying to get into a first home. Mm-hmm. They should be more concerned about that, in my opinion.
Yep. Good points. Hey, thanks for giving a call today. Appreciate the perspective there. Good stuff. All right. We've got a couple other people on the phone. Hang on, friends. We're going to get to you. But if I don't do this pretty soon, I'm going to be a little bit behind here. So let's get to, we've got a news and weather break, and then we'll be back to talk more about this as we come back. I love this conversation on the tax breaks because I think there's a way to do it that is responsible and that does allow for a better situation in the end than what we had. But like we've been talking about here, there's definitely ways that you can do it. And maybe we haven't always done it in a perfect way so far. So we'll continue that conversation. You can jump in too, 701-271-1100. Now a check of news. Steve Ahlstrom Show on the Friday afternoon. Good to be with you here, my friend, on this Friday. And boy, it's I love these old Christmas songs. Charlie Brown Christmas was just such a fun time to check that out when I was younger, and when it comes on even now, I find myself still leaning into it. 701-271-1100 is our phone number here. We've been talking about some of these companies across Fargo who are downsizing a little bit now out of current business conditions, and should, if they got some tax breaks, should they have to give some of that money back? It's been an interesting conversation. We've had a bunch of conversations going on today. We'd invite you to join in. No matter what your perspective is, you can be left, you can be right, you can be middle. I always enjoy a good conversation, so please let me know what is on your mind. Would love to hear from you today. Let's go back to the phone line. As I mentioned, Addison has got some other duties, so I'm not able to get my normal call screening done. So when you call in today, just know I'm going to ask you, tell me your name and where you're calling from. So good afternoon, my friend. Thank you for giving a call. Your name and where you're calling from today.
My name's Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Calling from Fargo.
Sounds good, sir. What's on your mind today, Barry?
Well, it's not about anything about taxes or anything. It's,
okay.
That 13-year-old kid in Moorhead.
Yes.
With fentanyl. In my youth, I was addicted to heroin. And I can't see a kid going in there with $3,500 worth of drugs trying to sell it. He's 13 years old. He doesn't know anything. He should be able to. We got to find out who's supplying him.
Yes.
And who's supplying the supplier. And we got to put an end to this because it does nothing but just kill the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids are the most important thing. I mean, they're our future, the future of the city, of the country. It just amazes me that this sort of terrible thing would happen.
I agree with you, Barry. It was the first thing that came to my mind as well, that when you're 13, you can't be mad at a kid who's 13. I guess you can, but it doesn't really do any good. But you got to figure out, where do these pills come from, and who in their right mind, what monster would give a kid a bag with 1,500 fentanyl pills and whatever, take them to school and say, hey, you sell these to other kids, or you're supposed to drop it off because so-and-so is going to come by and pick it up on the playground, or whatever the deal is. I mean, my gosh, you are putting a fatal amount of drugs in the hands of a 13-year-old child who cannot obviously be trusted to make any good decisions with anything. And so I don't know. I mean, if you're selling pills out of the out of your locker at school, what are you like? Are you trusting the kid to, you know, use a what do you want to call it, a forceps to pull the pill out and put into a little plastic bag so they don't touch anything? I mean, you can't trust that a 13-year-old is going to be able to execute on anything like that. So you're basically handing a death sentence to this kid. And the fact that some other kid in the school told a parent or staff member or a teacher or staff member about this, you just have to say, thank you, Jesus, that this happened. So we got these pills off of out of circulation there. But I'm with you. Where did this come from? Who would do this to a kid?
Yeah, and to all the children out there and kids and, you know, call them semi-adults out there in the school, if you hear of anybody doing that sort of thing or having that kind of drug, tell somebody, you know.
Yes.
You're not going to be looked bad upon because it's the right thing to do. I mean, use common sense.
Yeah. Yep. Barry, thanks for giving a call. I'm as disgusted by this as you are, and I'm glad that there are many of us, I'm sure, that are when you hear a story like this. We hear stories about kids and drugs and whatever. I mean, these things, sadly, we've heard enough of these stories so that it doesn't really stun us anymore. But when you are talking about a 13-year-old kid with 1,500 pills, a $35,000 value of this bag, and, I mean, how dangerous could this situation have been? This is one that's a top five a shocker to me when I consider the subject matter here. So I'm glad you feel the same way I do. Barry, thank you for giving a call. Merry Christmas, my friend. You have a great rest of the day, okay?
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys.
All right, thanks so much. I appreciate you. Thanks, Barry. Yeah, I mean, my gosh, what a deal this is. So, all right, we are going to take our final commercial break here today, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about achieving the American dream. It doesn't look the way it used to, and this is something a lot of people are talking about now, and we will give you some more perspective on this and let you weigh in on if you would like as well when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Coming to you here at 5:53. And love the holiday music this time of year. We've got time for a phone call or two if you would like to. 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. I've been promising you I was going to talk about this, and we've got a few minutes left. But before I do that, before I talk about the American dream looking a little different these days, I want to tell you about Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Dr. Matt Eaton has dedicated his professional life to transforming smiles and restoring confidence one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel it. It's not just a job. It's his calling. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everyone in between. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here with skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today, DakotaDentalImplant.com. All right, so achieving the American dream. Boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? But things are different. The American dream's a little different than it used to be. CNBC with this story today. Over the years, social and labor market changes, along with higher prices for everything from healthcare to higher education, have chipped away at the traditional makeup of the American family, which relied on a singular breadwinner to attain financial security. That's the Ward Cleaver days there, right? They say, for starters, fewer couples are married compared to a generation ago, and among married couples, both spouses are more likely to work, according to the Pew Research Center. They've done a new study, and it shows that people are choosing to have both spouses working for a couple different reasons. It's not just necessity. Sometimes it's by choice as well. Bankrate economic analyst Sarah Foster tells CNBC, we used to be in this golden age where you could own a home, a car, and get by on a single income. That is a bygone era. Isn't that interesting? So, you know me. I kind of like to try to poke holes in theories for fun. Shows you why I'm such a hit at parties, right? So, is this true? Well, what's like an average... Maybe you've been working for 5 years out of school and you want to have kids. So you're 27, I don't know, 25, 26, 27. What are you making? I don't know, 50, 60? depending on the industry you're in, maybe a little better. Let's say you're at 50,000. Can you get by on 50,000 a year and have a house and groceries and, you know, go out to Perkins once a week or something, or maybe, you know, buy Christmas presents, go on a little family vacation with 50 grand a year? Well, that's about 4,000 a month. And if you want to, you know, kind of go by the traditional mortgage percentages, about a third of your income can go toward housing, and then another third of it or so, or another 10% goes to all your other bills. They don't want you to be more than about 40% obligations with the money that you have. So I don't know. And let's say that's 1,700, 1,800. Can you have principal, interest, taxes, and insurance for 1,700, 1,800? That's pretty tough. That is pretty tough. You can rent for that. Can you have a home? Man, that's tough. That is tough. So maybe you have a little side hustle. Maybe your spouse who's at home does a little side work too, but that's tough, right? I mean, you can probably find a way to make ends meet, but that is tough. A bygone era. Today, the article goes on to say, it often takes two working parents to afford a middle class lifestyle. Even six-figure earners in the U.S., say one income feels nearly impossible to live on, according to another recent survey by the Harris Poll. In about half of all married couple families, both spouses were employed, according to 2024 data from Bureau of Labor Statistics. That number actually isn't as high as I thought it might be. So in about half of married couple families, both spouses were employed. So half or not. I thought it would be more. I thought it'd be maybe 4 out of 5. That's kind of what I thought it would be. It was only about half. And in families with children, 2/3 of all households had both spouses working outside the home. Okay, that's a little closer maybe what I would have thought there. Very interesting. It's tough. It is. I mean, your property taxes and your insurance right now, that, can you get a mortgage payment for $1,700, $1,800? Yeah, I think you can do that. But a home of even $300,000, $350,000 is going to have a property tax bill of what, $6,000, $7,000, $5,000, $6,000, something like that, maybe even more. That's tough. That's $400 or $500 a month. Insurance on that thing, homeowners insurance, is probably a couple hundred bucks. It's tough. I understand it. It's nice to say, oh, everybody should stay at home with the kids, but it's hard to do. I get that. Have a great night, my friend. Great to be with you here today. Great weekend to you and yours, and keep on flying that flag.